Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Welcome to hour number three. That was just a cool interview, by the way, with Scott Stantis. I wish I had his talent. And I also wish that I had a job there. I was drawing cartoons. But the pressure is on. I mean, it's like the originality can never stop. He's probably always got to remain plugged in and able to, you know, have that same level of originality for the next piece. John from Huntsville has texted in and said, "Phil, I love Scott's cartoon commentary, and so far it's been one of your best shows ever. Don't mess it up." no pressure. On the line, and by the way, I gotta talk about somebody who was on Twitter earlier, but before I do that, I'm going to take a phone call. Jeff Rowe from Indiana. What you doing, man? How are you?
Doing good, Phil.
Good.
I'm going the right direction anyway.
Is it the right direction north?
Yes, it is. I had my fish here at the 322, so I'm doing good.
Hey, man, by the way, your state is in the news headlines for the wrong reason right now. I don't know if you saw it. Top story.
I know more about Alabama than Indiana.
top story on Fox News right now. Indiana parents warn the nation after their child is removed from their home because they refuse to acknowledge the child's pronoun choices. So the state came in and removed their child from their house because they didn't want to go with the whole transgender pronoun use thing. Indiana.
That's so my. That's not looking good for Holcomb, I don't think. I've never been impressed with him, to tell you the truth, but I didn't realize it was that bad.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I didn't either. I never would have thought of Indiana being that kind of state. You didn't call in for that reason, though, before I chide you about your state. What else you got? What you think about?
At the beginning of the show, when you started talking about Paul Harvey and God Made a Farmer.
Yeah.
I about fell out of my chair because that's exactly what I was going to call about yesterday, but not quite the same thing.
No kidding. Well, maybe I was a great mind thinking alike.
You were channeling or something. I don't know, but I wanted to let you finish your dippers, and it didn't jive with what your last dipper there. I thought, well, I'll let him get through one for a change. Maybe he'll get a better score, better grade.
I was channeling my inner Jeff from Indiana.
Yeah. Well, here's my thought on it.
All right.
God made a farmer. Well, I'm thinking that we should do a political commercial that devil made a Democrat. And then go through all the things that the Democrats, you know, if, 10,000 people coming in a day, thank a Democrat, you know, and do it AI Paul Harvey.
You know, I've actually met a few Christian Democrats, just not very many.
I don't know how Joe Biden's Catholicism adds up when I don't think it was denying him communion, I believe, wasn't it?
Yeah, they were having none of it, and they were, yes, exactly. What'd you think, by the way, of Scott Stantis and the cartoon discussion a minute ago?
Oh, it was great and everything, but you need to put cacrosocracy in the guy's ears. He needs to come up with something for that, for sure.
Yeah, you know what? At some point, maybe I'll pray upon his friendship and see if we can get him commissioned to do something for Right Side where we can have some of our favorite terms done into a cartoon, like cacistocracy, jackassery, what else we got? Adventures in Woke World. We'll need to have, yes, absolutely. And we'll have to have like our regular cast of characters, like people like you drawn into the background somehow.
Well, I think it might, you know, spring, you know, might enhance his career, basically, you know, because that's a pretty good step. It's like, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours there, you know.
Nice. Well, all right, where are you on the road right now, brother?
I just passed Priceville, getting ready to cross the Tennessee River, heading north.
You are heading to Bucky's Land right there. You're very close to it.
Same. I can't get in there, though.
All right, man. Be safe on the road.
Have a good one, Phil.
We'll see, buddy. I tell you what. So this morning, I'm gonna take a moment of personal privilege because I had this enjoyable moment on Twitter this morning. I love it when trolls, especially liberal trolls, think they got something on you. And I mean, I don't know what 12-year-old is running the Lee County Democrat Twitter page, But they need to find somebody with a bit more maturity. So here's the thing. So this morning, you remember my monologue, those of you who heard the beginning of the show. If you didn't hear it, I encourage you to get it, because you can get it on our podcast every single day. The Right Side Way monologue is always part of the podcast. Story that was tweeted out of Massachusetts. In this case, I actually saw it on Riley Gaines' Twitter feed, but I've seen it on several others. I think Clay Travis had it. I think Matt Walsh had it. But it was a high school girls' basketball game. And one of the teams came in, Kipp Academy. Kipp Academy from Massachusetts came in, and they had a dude pretending to be a girl playing on the basketball team. So aggressive, 6 feet tall, facial hair, that three girls on the opposing team were injured. The opposing team was Lowell Charter School. So Lowell Collegiate Charter School, three players were injured. Their coach finally forfeited the game at halftime. He said, "We're done with this, and we're off. I'm not going to keep having my girls injured." Okay, well, good for the coach. But the next day, the collegiate charter school's their charter school principal, whatever she is, quickly issues a statement, wanting to make sure everybody knows that they really do support inclusiveness and the athletic association's policies on trans inclusiveness, and said that the only reason why the coach had to forfeit the game was because he had some players that were sick and three that got injured during that game, and he was really worried about whether or not they'd have a team enough for the upcoming tournament. And so he forfeited that game to preserve his team. Not a thing was said about protecting the rights of the girls on the team. Not a thing was said acknowledging the fact that the injuries came because the other team was allowed to put a guy in the girls' basketball game who was not only a guy in the game but was enjoying being the aggressive guy in the game. I mean, you can see there's part of the video that I've got posted on my Twitter page, at Sen Phil Williams, S-E-N, at Sen Phil Williams, is the guy knocking one of the girls to the ground and taking the ball right out of her hands. And she was injured and had to come off the court. Anyway, all that to say, I tweeted it out. And I said, a guy posing as a girl injures multiple female players, causing a forfeit. Another proud day for female sports. Title IX exists for a reason. This is insanity. That was my tweet. And then Lee County, Alabama Democrats decides to respond and comes out saying, what do they say first? Yeah, that's definitely the biggest problem we face in our society. I wake up every morning thinking, will today be the day that another high school volleyball game is forfeited? That was their takeaway. That was their takeaway. Not that girls were injured, not that dudes are participating in girls' basketball, but that the game was forfeited. That was their takeaway. And then had to follow it up because, they couldn't stop there. Thought they had a thing going on. And said, your job as a legislator is not to whine about things you find distasteful. You can get a YouTube channel if you want to do that. Your job is to listen to your constituents and try to address their concerns. Well, that'd be the Democrat jackass right there. So a lot of times I blow these things off. I don't respond. This one, though, I just said, well, here's an idea. Go educate yourself. I'm a former legislator, but these were still my sentiments and those of my constituents back then. I also do have a YouTube channel, and you're welcome to watch it because I expect to talk about you today. And by the way, this is not about sentiments or your squishy beliefs. It's about the right and wrong and protecting kids. Yeah. Well, so I am right now, by the way, broadcasting in part on YouTube, and I fully expect that the Lee County, Alabama Dems will file a complaint with YouTube and try to get our site taken down again, because liberals do that. But all I'm saying is this. Trans women are just con men, in my opinion. Trans women. They're not even trans women. They're fake. They're fake women. They're people who have a mental disorder that are preying upon others and taking advantage of a society that is unwilling to use the magic word no. And you can, by the way, you can have compassion and still say no. You can, by the way, love somebody and still say no. You can have all of the heart in the world and a desire to see the best for people. And part of that may actually involve having to tell them no. When I was a parent raising my kids, There were times that if we went to, let's take an example, very easy, go to the grocery store. The kids want everything sweet. They want everything they don't need to eat. They see it. They think it's great. I want that one, Daddy. No, honey, we're not going to do that right now. No, son, we're not going to do that right now. But how come? Because I'm your daddy and I actually know something. Well, how about this? You can love somebody and still say no. And the very idea that this is about a forfeiting of a game. No, it's about friggin' where were the parents, where were the coaches, where was the athletic association when those girls were playing basketball? Where was the somebody, some adult in the room who was willing to walk up to the court and go, hey, by God, no. Either he's off the court or this game doesn't happen. Well, you'll forfeit. Well, I guess we'll forfeit then. That kind of thing has to happen more often. Absolutely does. All right, there's your mini rant. We'll call that like a mini dipper. There's my rant. We're going to come right back, and I got a batch of home fries we're going to cook up. Y'all stay tuned. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower up in here. Hey, by the way, I got to tell you guys, so you hear the ads playing during the break, right? You hear those ads playing for a reason, obviously, because that's part of how we support what we do. So Right Side Radio, if you're not familiar, Right Side Radio is a standalone business. We are a business unto ourselves. And so if you're listening to us live on the radio right now, just know this, those radio stations don't own us. We own our content. We send them the show. So we're on multiple AM and FMs across North Alabama. And it's an honor to be there and be there with you every day, but we got to sustain those operations. And part of how we do that is by selling ads. So if you're listening to this show and you consider yourself to be a Right Side ruffian, just know this. Our stations combined tell us that we're speaking to well over 30,000 Right Side ruffians every single week. And if you got goods and services to sell, they much might rather buy from you as another Right Side ruffian than to buy it from somebody else. So think about it. If you want to advertise on Right Side Radio, we'd love to talk to you about it. Lauren is our sales director. She will be in touch with you ASAP. And the way you do that is you don't call the station. You contact us directly. So rightsideradio.org is our website. I encourage all of y'all to check it out. All of our social media is linked to it. Our live streams linked to it. Our recommended reading list is linked to it. Photo gallery, all that stuff's on rightsideradio.org. There's also a place where you can send us a message about advertising. You send us that message, we'll get back in touch with you ASAP because we would love to get you on the team. Advertise with Right Side. Go to rightsideradio.org. Send us the word. All right, you know the deal. Every once in a while, when I'm looking at the news, I'm thinking, man, it's time to stop talking about D.C. Can't always talk about what's happening downrange somewhere. The southern border is important, but we can't do it every single day. And sometimes what I got to do is look around and see what kind of news we have right here in our own backyard. Right now, what is happening in and around and amongst us. And that's why we like to, every once in a while, cook up a batch of what we call home fries. Oh, yeah. Just sizzling in the pan, man. All right, home fries number one. Here's some good news for you. Found this on Alabama Daily News, Todd Stacy's website. Came out yesterday. Alabama Daily News says that Alabama exports have reached a record high $27+ billion. People don't realize to the extent that Alabama is an export powerhouse. And by the way, one of the things we've got going for us is not just that we have, of course, rail and interstate access. Great ag land, agricultural land, a major industrial base. We've also got a warm water port, which makes us a very attractive location for people who want to be able to ship their goods elsewhere. Well, those goods are called exports, and Alabama saw a 6% increase over last year, $27.4 billion, topping the previous record set in 2022. Governor Kay Ivey says, the record-breaking success of our exporters extends the reach of what we call the Made in Alabama brand while reflecting the high level of demand for our homegrown products. Things like vehicles, aerospace parts, minerals, metals, I'm sure agricultural products, all of it. Anyway, Alabama, y'all, that's just good news right there. So our economy as a state is becoming more and more of a force in the world, and that's just pretty cool. Change of subject, but still home fries. I'm in the unique position right now of there are three people running for a state school board position in District 3, which is a big part of this listening area. If you're living in the Birmingham area, District 3 is probably in your district, or you're probably in District 3. And all three of the ladies running for that office are good folks who I know personally. So Ann Eubank, Charlotte Meadows, and Kelly Mooney are all three running for that seat. You've got a primary coming up. I want to just point out to you guys, March the 5th is right around the corner. March the 5th is Super Tuesday. That's when Alabama, among a bunch of other states, goes to the polls for our presidential primary races. But you're also going to have some major state races that are contested on that ballot. You're going to have local races that are probably contested on that ballot. I mean, like right now where Big Rig and I live, we've got a countywide race which is contested for a judgeship. And I happen to know that the guy who's running is one of my law partners. And so that's a big day for him. I'm going to be there at the polls to support him. And then you've got on top of that, at the statewide level, like one of the contested races that's flying under a lot of people's radar, but it's super, super important. Supreme Court Chief Justice is our friend Brian Taylor, who's been on the show multiple times, and current Justice Sarah Stewart running to be the chief. That's a massively important race. And then, of course, you got the presidential primary. And I fully expect this has always been Trump country. It'll be Trump country again. But one of the races that you're going to have on your ballot, depending on where you live, is going to be state school board. Y'all, school board, how important is that now? I mean, look at what we're seeing that is happening in schools left and right. You've got school athletic associations that are doing things like allowing transgender sports to take, you know, dudes to play in girl sports. You've got the library situations that are in public schools. You've got things like Common Core. You got the fact that Alabama is ranked among the lowest in the nation in education quality and results. Well, three Republican women, according to AL Daily News, Ann Eubank, Charlotte Meadows, Kelly Mooney. There was another lady named Melissa Snowden. She's on the ballot because she dropped out. She's not in the race anymore, so don't waste your vote on Melissa Snowden because she has officially dropped out. But her campaign did not dissolve until it was too late for the ballot to be changed. But Ann Eubank is 75 years old. She's a conservative activist, a self-described citizen lobbyist who raised two daughters and then decided to get into politics. She's been the chair of a group called the Alabama Legislative Watchdogs. I know Ann personally. She's a hoot, and she's great at what she does. And then you've got Charlotte Meadows, a former legislator who is a great school choice advocate and has done a lot for school choice in the state. And then Kelly Mooney, who's an educator by trade, who is also married to a conservative House member, Arnold Mooney, and is running for office for the first time. Y'all keep an eye on that race. That's a big, big deal. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. More home fries. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid and conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, Alabama. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. It goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. So I got to tell you who else covers a lot of ground, and it's true. Southern Immediate Care. Southern Immediate Care is one of our sponsors that is a chain of clinics that covers a large swath of ground across our overly broad listening area. I'm talking about, they got locations like Gadsden, Anniston, Atala, six more locations around the Birmingham area, brand new one they built just recently in Helena. Southern Immediate Care, y'all, they're a chain of clinics, open 7 days a week, and they'll see all ages. I'm talking about like, you know, pediatric to geriatric, they'll see all of them. Southern Immediate Care, you get sick on a Saturday morning, do you want to wait till Monday? No, you might need to be seen on a Saturday, and yes, they are open. So check them out. And by the way, this is who I use personally. And I say that because I have been using them for a while. Always found them to be like, every time I walked through the front door, clean, professional, friendly, got me in, got me out. You can get your shots and your x-rays right there on site. Southern Immediate Care. I mean, I kept thinking, I could brag about these folks. So I don't use them because they advertise. They advertise because I'd been using them. And I went to them and asked, and it turns out they're owned by a Right Side ruffian, so that was too easy. But yeah, Southern Immediate Care, in all their locations, you need medical attention, go ahead and look them up online, find the location nearest to you, and head on down. And if you're there filling out those forms like we got to do, tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. I'd appreciate that very much. I'm in a section right now that we like to call home fries. So give me some home fries here again, brother. Let's do some home fries. Yeah, sizzling, cooking in the pan. This is news from in and around and amongst you. Things that are happening right here in Alabama or to Alabamians or about Alabama. So here's one for you. I find this to be odd, but I've seen this kind of thing. I've seen it down in Montgomery. You know, it's very interesting when legislation is getting passed to, you know, create a new board, to establish a new procedure or put a commission, you know, in order or whatever. The Democrats will always go to the podium and almost always say, I object to this bill because I don't feel like there are racial quotas built into it. And then they'll hold up the bill until they get something that says that there will be, you know, at least two members of the board that's being established by the bill that are from a minority. At some point you look at it and go, okay, the assumption will be that we can find somebody to be on the board who matches your demographic notions. Well, right now we've got, for the first time that I've seen, an actual lawsuit filed about that very thing. Pacific Legal Foundation. So I actually had them in a different story earlier, but Pacific Legal Foundation is one of those conservative advocacy organizations that will take things to court on the matters of conservative principles and liberty and constitutionality. So Pacific Legal Foundation filed suit against Governor Kay Ivey, according to a story here on 1819 News that came out this morning, just last week. The Alabama Real Estate Appraisers Board. Doesn't sound like a big deal, right? Real estate appraisers. How hard can it be? I don't know. All I know is this. Everybody's got a board, and the Alabama Real Estate Appraisers Board has 9 members, according to the statute that created their board in 1990, and it requires by law in the statute that 2 members of that board have to be minorities. The problem we got is there's a vacancy on the board, and there's someone who is referred to as Member A, an unnamed Prattville resident, who would like to be on the board but can't because there's already too many white folk, I guess, on the board right now. And so Member A is a staunch believer and an advocate for the importance of public service and protecting constitutional rights and, oh, by the way, is fully qualified to be on the board, who knows they can never be on the board because racial quotas are in the way. So the Pacific Legal Foundation just filed suit against the governor of Alabama. And granted, the governor's not doing it out of malice, but they have to file suit, and they have to name the governor in her official capacity. That's the way it works. And then it goes on to say, sadly, Alabama governors are sometimes required to discriminate based on a candidate's race when they make appointments to state boards, commissions, and committees. And this is an example. And they're trying to get it overturned. If they get that overturned, if it goes to the state Supreme Court and they get that overturned because it's a violation of the Equal Protection Act, actually, it's in federal court. So if this winds up getting overturned by the federal courts, I got news. There's a whole bunch of other boards and commissions in the state of Alabama that will suddenly have to deal with it. Here's another one in the home fries section. I told you we got an election coming up, March the 5th. Do not forget, you got to go to the polls. You got to vote March the 5th. Big doings. One of the things that you got is competitive races. Competitive races, I do believe that Mike Rogers in Congressional District 3 has got a competitive race. That's in the listening area. I don't know if Adderholt has somebody or not in CD4. I think he does. I do know, though, that Gary Palmer, who is running again in Congressional District 5, or 6, excuse me, he has competition. I think he's got 2 competitors. But a story here on Yellowhammer News that came out yesterday is Gary Palmer, Congressman Palmer, just received an endorsement from Donald Trump. So that's going to help. I think Gary Palmer was safe anyway. I think he's campaigning like he's got to just, you know, run hard, but I think he's okay. But U.S. Representative Gary Palmer is rolling out a new campaign ad that features former President Donald Trump narrating a glowing endorsement of the incumbent congressman. Says something like, my friends, Congressman Gary Palmer is taking care of the people he represents, yada, yada. And I won't read the whole thing because it's not meant to be an advertisement here. I'm just telling you that is seen as a, you know, big doings. And Congressman Palmer has just won that. By the way, separate issue, don't forget, and it's not in this listening area, it's down south, but it certainly impacts our state. We have a big battle right now. Congressional District 2, which was just totally redrawn by the courts. CD2 has got a bunch of Democrats and a bunch of a bunch of Democrats and a bunch of Republicans all going at it. Right now, the lead candidates appear to be still Republican Dick Brubaker, friend of this show who's been on multiple times, and Democrat Anthony Daniels, who's also been on this show and is a pretty good dude. But that's going to be your main battle, I think. Now, there's probably going to wind up being a runoff because there's so many people in the race that it's hard to imagine anybody getting over 50%. But right now, the lead candidates are Republican Dick Brubaker from Montgomery and Democrat Anthony Daniels, who actually lives in Huntsville but grew up in that district. And then down yonder in the Wiregrass all the way over to the Mobile area, Baldwin County, all of it, Coffee County, bottom line is all of them down there along the bottom edge of the state. That's an interesting situation. You watch what happens. By the way, our delegation for years has been 7 congressmen, one of them Democrat, because that's the makeup of our districts. We run the risk right now of seeing it go down to 5-2 because the redrawing of the lines leaned more in favor of Democrats on CD2. So now you've got CD1, the bottom half of the state. If you have friends in Dothan, Mobile, Baldwin County, all along that edge, just above the Florida line, then you need to tell them, go to the polls. And right now what you've got is 2 incumbents. How does that happen? Because when they redrew the lines, they drew Congressman Barry Moore out of his own district. And Barry Moore is one of the most conservative members of Congress. He was just endorsed by multiple members of the Freedom Caucus. So that happened just in the last few days. Barry Moore, endorsed by multiple members of the Freedom Caucus, and he's up against Jerry Carl, who is a I would have to say everything I understand about Jerry Carl is he is more centrist, although he considers himself a conservative. So there's that. What you got, man? You about to say something? I thought you had something there. All right. What do I got? Time-wise, I'm good. Let me go ahead and do this. The gambling bill. Yep. The gambling bill. Oh, yeah. Stay tuned for Stephanie Smith from API. Probably going to be on the air with us tomorrow, giving us updates. But the gambling bill, story here on WHNT, Channel 19 out of Huntsville. It just blew through the house. It blew through the house like scoot through a goose, man. It just blew through the house. I mean, like nobody could slow it down. It was going to happen, and they're hitting the brakes right now in the Senate. So right now what I'm hearing is that literally they don't have the votes for this bill in the Senate. And good for them. Hello, Senate. Bring some rational common sense back to us. Because this is the most god-awful piece of legislation I've ever seen. And I can't say that enough. Listen, and I don't say that just because of gambling. I mean, I'm not a fan of expansion of gaming. I'm not. But here's the thing. If this was a grocery store bill, it would be awful. If this was a bill about, I don't know, library books, it would be awful. Well, that's conservative. That's
because of all the fine print, right?
Oh, yeah, dude. I mean, you're exactly right. Mm-hmm. Read between the lines. Actually, it's not even between the lines. Read the lines. It's just awful.
Yeah.
Raises taxes, grows government, violates the free market principles that we say we stand for as Republicans, creates monopolies. It favors bad actors who've been breaking our law for years by giving them a leg up. It limits where they can be, which I'm not for it, but you know what? Why would you do something where you say, well, here in the state of Alabama, we're going to allow you to have one there and one. It's the government picking winners and losers. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that bill is now at a dead halt in the Senate. Story here on WHNT says the 2024 gaming bill found considerable support in the Alabama House, but the bill's path in the Senate is less clear. And the last time a similar gaming bill was offered was 2021, and it died in the Senate, falling 2 votes shy of the 21 needed. It's a 143-page bill. It calls for a new gaming commission with its own law enforcement agency, which is wrong. A lottery commission. It details where proceeds from gaming will go. It's just the whole thing you look at, and they're going to disguise it. It's about a lottery. Don't you want to vote for a lottery? I'm here to support your right to vote. No, you're not. That's not what you're doing. First of all, you were sent down there to make decisions, not to defer to me. Now, if it comes to me to vote, I'll vote. But don't say, I had to step aside so the people could have a chance to speak. You were elected to speak. Bunch of jackwagons. All right, that bill right now, though, is at a dead halt in the Senate. And what I'm hearing right now is they need 21 yeses. And right now, they don't have it. Right now, I'm hearing that over 18 members of the Alabama Senate are a no vote right now. And maybe 19 based upon what I heard yesterday. So more on that. More on that. All right, brother, we'll take that last break of the day. Take us to it, Big Rig. We'll come right back. I'll get a few text messages and tell you about a couple more stories that I've got in the home fries category. It's been a good show. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like saving the world. One soundbite at a time. Hey, I'm gonna cook up a little bit more home fries. Hit me some. Yeah, I can smell it from here. All right, so home fries, stories from in and around and amongst us. Just so you know, Roy Johnson, who writes racial-toned articles or opinion pieces for AL.com, he had a piece, and I look at it and I go, what? Which I find I do that quite often with his stuff. I look at it and go, what? So Roy Johnson, who, like I said, always sees things through the lens of race, it seems like, he says Birmingham Southern is going to get its money. So Birmingham Southern, if you're not familiar, is just grossly mismanaged its assets, overspent. And then also, by the way, admits now that it did a horrible job at calculating its like federal grants and things like that. So it got itself into a world of hurt. Birmingham Southern now wants a bailout. They've been wanting to bail out for the last 2 years. We're going to close. Oh, God, we're going to close. Well, they want $30 million from the state. The state has declined thus far to give them a loan, but new legislation appears to be tracking towards getting them the money they want no matter what. So Royce Johnson says Birmingham Southern is going to get his money, so it seems. It's $30 million lifeline or care package. And he makes a point. He says he's been very clear on the thing that he thinks is a bad idea, and I appreciate that. But then he goes on to say, if they get it, then I truly hope that state lawmakers will be as assiduous about paying Alabama A&M in Huntsville some of the $527 million that Alabama owes the historically black public land grant institution. And I found myself going, what? Alabama owes? What are you talking about? So apparently last September, I didn't know this, but last September, federal officials, well, that's the Obama, or excuse me, the Biden administration. Federal officials dropped a late payment notice on Governor Kay Ivey, signed by Secretary of Education Miguel Cardoza and U.S. Ag Secretary Thomas Vilsack, explaining that the calculations show that Alabama is like a half a billion dollars behind in funding Alabama A&M. What? So they're a land-grant college. We have three of them. Land-grant colleges were supplied with grants by the federal government to help them, you know, to make working-class Americans have access to higher ed. Auburn, Tuskegee University, and Alabama A&M are all three of our land-grant colleges. And they say that A&M should have been receiving more money along the way based upon an analysis of the funding received between 1987 and 2020. They are $527 million-plus dollars behind. And I'm calling bunk on it. Bunk ain't going to happen. No way, no how. Last one, because I'm an Auburn fan, I know John from Huntsville is too. Auburn football officially announces a slew of new hires and promotions to recruiting and analyst staff. So just so you know, there's another team out there in Alabama, just so you know. So, hey, everybody be aware, Auburn added Kenyatta Watson as Auburn's Director of Recruiting Research and Strategy and Maurice Harris as Director of Football and Recruiting Relations. I just saw that story, and because I'm an Auburn fan, I printed it out. There it is. Bam. How you like me now? War Eagle. Just saying.
You're an Auburn fan?
By the way, I'm an Auburn fan.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Hey, did I mention I'm an Auburn fan? War Eagle. The grades are in. Where'd that? I just lost it. I updated my system right then. John from Huntsville.
Which one?
Yeah, it's true. By the way, if your name is John and you live in Huntsville, you want to text the show, we're going to have middle initials from now on. But there's only one John from Huntsville by himself. He says, Big Rig, your performance today was fantastic. You earned 5 extra credit points for all the awesome home fry sound effects. You get an A++. Scott Stantis gets an A++, perfection. However, wait for it. You ready for this? Phil's performance was so amazing. He gets the very rare supersize A++ and is today's winner. Whoop, can I have some whoop whoops out of that? Give me some whoops, brother. Just some. There it is. Just give me some. Yeah, nice.
It's super rare, by the way.
It is super rare. I don't think I've ever had that, by the way. And John's been grading me now for a long time. But
he usually gives you the worst grade.
It's just the life I live. Mark from Laredo, Tennessee also gave me an A++. Thank you, Mark. We got brand new Lee from Owens Crossroads is in the text system. He's the one that texted about the propane not being sold anymore at Costco because of the EPA getting involved. Thank you. Also retired U.S. Air Force, so appreciate you, Lee. Thanks for your service. Charles from Decatur. Gambling Bill was a voice vote with no public record of ayes and nays. The speaker was being sneaky. Well, there's a record in the House chamber because they have to record it that way. It was in the committee where there was a voice vote, where they just did the ayes and nays without having a roll call. So yeah, David from Madison says I definitely got into the wrong line of business. I should have started a university. Those institutions are making money hand over fist. Government assistance plus the outrageous fees they charge students. Forget about it, says David from Madison. Tammy from Yawniana just says War Eagle. Thank you, Tammy. Appreciate you. What else we got there? JT Lacey Springs. Election tidbit. Stacey George, who ran against Wes Kitchens for Alabama, is now seeking Wes's vacated seat in the House. He is a perpetual candidate, I will say, of Stacey George. All right. What an amazing day. God, that was a great show. All right. We got a good show up tomorrow. Don't forget, it's hump day. We play the camel. And, oh, by the way, we'll have a grand council. And I think Stephanie Smith may PI. Tune in. We'll see you then.